Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, evidently, the last couple of days of people, you know, shouting and screaming at the administration that they allowed this eviction moratorium to basically just go wild as Congress was heading for the exit, has yielded some movement as Joe Biden today came out and has announced a new 2-month eviction moratorium. But I guess the caveat in this is it's only in the places that are being hit hardest by the new wave of infections. And I'm going, why are we rewarding those who are doing the worst things? And now look, these are poor people in every state who don't have control over this. But, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's just angering. You should have just made it across the country. We're just going to make sure everybody gets to stay in their homes, not just those states where you've got morons running around. Just my thoughts. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on this new decision and whether, you know, Congress should have left before actually doing something. I've asked our good friend Morris Pearl to come talk with us. Morris is the chairman of the Patriotic Millionaires. Check out their website, patrioticmillionaires.org. Morris, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, it's great to be in your show. Thank you.
So I'm looking at, you know, Biden's decision today. It's the right decision. Extend it for 2 months. I just don't know why we had to put the caveat in there that it's only in those places where things are raging.
I think there's really two different groups of people looking at this. There's one group, most Democrats and most people, who are saying, look, we don't want to evict people in the middle of this pandemic where thousands of people have lost, millions of people have lost their jobs and all kinds of horrible things are happening. And there's this other side saying, oh, no, government's not supposed to be helping people. Government's just supposed to be doing these very limited things that the founding fathers had in mind back in the 18th century. And so they've come up with this rule, oh, it's to stop the spread of diseases, not evicting people, because then they'll have to move. So they've done just the part that they can kind of justify on the basis of something that, you know, these 18th century founding fathers would have understood. And I mean, I agree with you. I think it's ridiculous that we, our government, who's trying to do the right thing for people, or supposed to be doing the right thing for people, is feeling constrained by it's just ridiculous. I agree.
Now, as I understand, there's $46.5 billion out there to help renters. We talked to a state senator here from Pennsylvania last night who came out and said, look, you know, the money's is coming. We just can't get it out the door fast enough. It's a problem of getting the resources to help these people already. So it just seems to me like, you know, throwing people out of their homes at this moment, it seems like kind of a dumb idea when there is help on the way.
It is a dumb idea. It's a dumb idea most times, and not just because we care about those people being thrown out of their homes, but we do, but we care about their landlords. We don't want them losing money too. There's plenty of mom and pop landlords who don't have any income either. And we care about the guys who own all the businesses. These people shopped. We, you know, we care about the bartenders who used to get tips on Friday nights from these guys. And we care about their communities, because whole communities fall apart when people are getting evicted and losing their homes, and all the things that put the community together are kind of falling apart. And right. Frankly, it's part of our society's job to prevent that.
Yeah, I mean, didn't we not learn that lesson in 2009 and 10? When places like Cleveland and Detroit and Milwaukee, you know, basically had entire neighborhoods wiped out as you know, people lost their homes and then ended up, I know where I lived in Cleveland, they actually bulldozed, you know, parts of neighborhoods because the houses were all, you know, ripped to shreds or, you know, in disrepair, beyond repair is better. And did we not learn from that?
We should have, because only a small number of those people actually had these subprime toxic mortgages or whatever. But a huge number of people were caught up in the side effects of that, in the cycles that go through neighborhoods, because they work in the real estate industry, because they work in some other industry that depends on those people, because of so many other things. And it affected hugely more people than the relatively small number of people that actually could not make their mortgage payments.
Yeah, and that's where I'm kind of in this spot right now. It seems to me that we should be doing something. I found it weird that the CDC is the one who came out with the moratorium. I come back to this idea. Isn't that Congress's job? Isn't this something that they should have done, you know, last year first and then, you know, now before they went on vacation?
Well, frankly, I agree with you. I would have preferred that Congress pass some law about this and not just saying no evictions, but actually providing money to pay people's rents, because it's not like we want to ask landlords to take all the brunt of the problem here.
Right, because they can't.
Yes, and they can't. A lot of them, I mean, some of them are doing great. I'm sure there are a few landlords who are doing great, but there are plenty who are struggling too, just like everyone else. There are plenty of rental houses that are owned by someone who just owns one and depends on that for his or her retirement income, that rent. So yeah, I think we need to get those billions of dollars that have already been allocated out to the right people.
Yeah, and then again, that takes time to do. And now all of this comes back down to the fact that our Supreme Court basically threw out the CDC's moratorium and put us in this position, right?
I think they're trying to, the Supreme Court is trying to say that we want to run the country just as those people over 200 years ago intended. And they intended for a lot of things that I don't think are right now. Things like, you know, slavery and only men who own property voting and a lot of things that, frankly, we don't believe are the right thing today. And so I don't think that the Supreme Court, with a few guys who try to think out what did they mean when they signed this thing in Philadelphia's Independence Hall back in the day, I don't think that's the right criteria for making decisions personally.
So you think this is going to be enough? Because, you know, there are some, I have some activist friends who are concerned that, you know, we're going to see the kind of evictions that we saw, you know, back in 9 and 10 with the foreclosures that happened, you know, where, you know, people are going to come home and find all their stuff out on the lawn or out on the street corner. Do you fear that's coming, or do you think that this can hold that down for a bit?
I mean, I'm afraid of that too. This, the new rule that the administration put out doesn't apply to the whole country, I don't think. Yeah, so yeah, I'm afraid of that. And even in the best of times, there's some people being evicted for whatever. So it's not just because of pandemics. But yeah, I'm afraid of that. I hope that this new order, well, it's better than nothing, certainly. So I'll give them some credit. But, you know, I think we need more. I would have preferred Congress acting on this, as I think many members of Congress would have preferred too.
Yeah, it just seemed like bad messaging. You had like the perfect storm over the weekend of, you know, the Democrats leaving town and President Obama, you know, going to have his 60th birthday party and all the messaging that goes around that. It just looked like a really bad time for the poor.
I'm not going to President Obama's 60th birthday party. I've not been to any of his other birthday parties either. So I will, I'm just on a, you know, taking a few days off with my family, just up in upstate New York, not too far from where I live.
Yeah, I didn't get an invitation to the big shindig, and I personally wouldn't go anyway. But you know, it's just the messaging that comes out of that is what's kind of frustrating to me, because there is so much that has to be done, and so much that's not. Now, as you've said, you know, there are people out there who they just think that, hey, well, you didn't pay your rent, throw people to the curb. And there are a lot of corporations right now, some of these hedge funds, who are buying up single family homes that have a lot of people, you know, kind of concerned on what the future of rentals are going to be in this country. And it seems like this is like that perfect storm moment where we're going to have a whole bunch of landlords really desperate to sell and get out, and, you know, easy pickings.
Well, I mean, I think it makes sense for more rental housing to be available. I think for some people, they want to live in a house, not an apartment, but yet they want some flexibility. They think they might want to live someplace for only 1 year or 2 years or something. So I think it's good that there's rental houses available. But no, I don't think it's good if a few landlords control all of the housing. No, I think that could be a problem for America. That's, you know, what they went to war over in Ireland not right that long ago.
Ultimately, this is about getting the economy back going, though. And I keep coming back to the infrastructure bill. A booming economy solves a lot of problems. When you get people back to work in good wage jobs, they get to pay their rent, they get to keep food on the table. A lot of good things happen, which is why, again, you know, we've got this vacation period without an infrastructure bill, without anything getting out the door and jobs being created and industries being shored up. Again, this to me is another failure of leadership that they should not have left until that was done.
I agree with the point that you made that what gets the economy going is all those people with good jobs, because they're the ones who are buying things. They're the ones who are paying their rent and their iPhone bill and all their other bills every month. And they're the ones that keep all the businesses and all the main streets in America going. So yeah, I think that's where the focus should be. And I frankly don't really care much about what happens to the few billionaires.
Yeah, and ultimately your organization is one of those that is saying we need to tax them more, take that money and invest it in things like infrastructure. So we rebuild our economy, but more importantly, we give people those jobs to help reinvigorate our economy and help people stay in their homes. It seems like a good idea. Maybe we should try it.
Part of our problem is that we have too much of our tax burden is on regular middle-class people who have to work for a living. You know, talk to your business owners, even in Pennsylvania, and the guy who owns the bar is more worried about how much beer money all the people sitting in the bar have on a Friday night than about the wages of the one guy who's standing behind the bar pouring the beer. So it's middle-class Americans who have jobs who are making America run.
That is an excellent point. Now, on this eviction moratorium front, I understand you guys have signed on with a bunch of other groups for this coming next Friday, I believe it is, for a concert for jobs, climate, and care. I guess it's a free concert. I guess tickets are limited. You can go to your website, patrioticmillionaires.org, and you'll also be live streaming this through your social media sites. Am I getting this right?
Yeah, from Fairmont Park in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania. So, yeah, I mean, is a concert going to solve all the problems? No, but it's one step in getting the word out there and getting people to understand what the problems are, and that they can have a role in fixing the problems by getting their elected representatives to do what they want done.
Yeah, absolutely. To raise awareness and maybe a little bit of money. It's a free concert, but there's got to be a way to donate to help. Is that part of this plan too?
Yeah, take a look at our website. You're free to send in some money. And I believe we're going to have a team there selling Tax the Rich t-shirts.
All right. That's good stuff. Now, as we talked yesterday to our local state senator, he said, look, you know, if you're up against it, if you're behind on your rent, make sure you fill out the forms in your county. Make sure that you seek out the rental assistance forms. And if you need legal assistance during foreclosure, go to legal aid or someone. But don't allow yourself to go into a courtroom without legal advice. And I think it's both good things and things that they have to remember. Because after all, being foreclosed on, being evicted, those are legal procedures. You need a lawyer. But Morris, I also wanted to get your thoughts on this Larry Elder. I don't know if you know who Larry Elder is. He's a talk show host from out West Coast. He said today that it's been reported that he believes the right minimum wage, the ideal minimum wage, is zero. And to him, he can't understand why two people who are adults can't determine what the price of labor ought to be. To him, it's beyond him. He says he feels a third party. It's not their business. Again, he doesn't understand. It's beyond him. Is the ideal minimum wage zero?
I don't think so, Rick. I really don't. We've decided in 1865 that we had to have some government regulation on labor. Labor is not strictly a free market. You know, when this country was founded, people went to Africa and kidnapped people and got them to work for zero. We decided that's not the way we want things to run in our country, and we changed the rules. Labor is not the same kind of free market as, you know, selling wheat from a wheat farmer is. It's hours of work of people, and people cannot just sell their labor back and forth however they want. It's never been a free market. It's always been regulated by governments here and around the world since biblical times. And no, it still needs to be regulated.
No, you're absolutely. And I have a lot of gig employee friends who they believe, you know, they go to these gig apps and they pick up jobs and they basically slit each other's throats for pennies, but they all get some kind of jobs. And they think that they're negotiating for their labor when actually what they're doing is they're negotiating their labor down. And a lot of them, I don't think they actually understand that.
Look, some people, that's what they want to do. But there's plenty of people to getting money from these gig apps, they would truly rather have an actual paycheck every week. We sort of found, you know, back in the early part of the 20th century, people in lower Manhattan were doing piecework work, and they were working in sweatshops, and that's where the term came from. And, you know, we had fires like the Triangle Shirt Factory fire, and we came up with regulations. We no longer allow people to do piecework work because there's a very few companies that actually employ people. There's a very few companies that people can actually go to do the work. And, you know, it used to be a few garment manufacturers, and now it's Uber and Lyft and DoorDash and Instacart and probably another few beyond that. But they don't, all the people who work there don't have the negotiating power. It's not an simple exchange between peers of two parties coming to an agreement, because one party has far more power than the other party. So to call this a free market is totally making ridiculous meaning of the term. So No, we do need regulation of labor market in the United States.
No, I mean, in order to have a free market, you have to, as I said earlier, you have to be able to abstain. You have to be able to go, no, I'm not going to work. And I don't know many working people who can go. Now, you, on the other hand, you could go, I don't need it. I'm not doing it. I got better things to do. But the average everyday working person, they can't say, I abstain.
I did. I mean, in 2014, I decided I'd done as much as I needed to do for the shareholders of the company I used to work for. But I was very lucky to be in a situation where I don't need to work for a living. I have enough money. I'm on vacation. I sort of hesitate to use the word because I don't actually work. So what am I on vacation from? But yeah, I am on vacation now.
Well, good for you, man. I love the work that you do over at Patriotic Millionaires. I think it's important work. I think getting out there and telling the story that of what you've done and saying, look, I'm a guy who, you know, I won the game, but I want you to do well too, I think is really important. So I appreciate you
taking
time. Because
we're all going to do well. If we all do well, we all do well. It's true.
That old saying, when we all do better, we'll all do better when we all do better. Good stuff. Morris, I appreciate the time. Hope folks will take a look at the website, patrioticmillionaires.org. Check out the free concert in Philadelphia on February 13th. You can also, if you're not in Philly, you can watch it via live stream. All good stuff.
August, not February.
Did I say February? I said Friday. Friday, August 13th. Sorry.
Friday,
August 13th. February is a long day down the way. Morris, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick.
Good stuff. Morris Pearl, chairman of the Patriotic Millionaires. Friday, August 13th. Make sure you check out their website, patrioticmillionaires.org. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.